Daddy God is in the house. A moment ago, as Brother Ken was sharing Richard Mitchell's testimony, I hope you were listening. They said, we heard the message. We took the notes home. We answered the questions. What did they do? They took ownership of the message. Yesterday, they took ownership of their new car. The Word of God will point you a way to go. But if you are a fool, sometimes I just want to smack people, knock the dumbness out of them. I heard that message. If it didn't change you, you didn't hear it. This morning, you'll have an opportunity to hear God's servant, to enter into God's flow. If you haven't noticed it yet, there is a prophetic presence in the assembly this day. God wants to speak to your heart, not your head, your heart. And if you'll listen as God's servant brings the word today, you will be taken from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and you will have the opportunity to embrace new levels of truth in God. Are you ready to receive today?
I have spoken, I have encouraged, I have exhorted you, and today I am saying once again, it's your season. It's your season. It is the now season. I am not talking about next week, next year. I am talking about possessing the kingdom. But I want to give you a little clue. You are possessing the kingdom because I have called you for a specific purpose. I know you think it's because of your needs, but it's not your needs. It's what you have been called and chosen to be in this season, in this time, that my son can be proclaimed. Lay hold, because you have a predetermined destination for the kingdom to be established. I have given you this city, and I have called you to a specific purpose. I have called my man of God to teach you and to train you so you can accomplish what I have specifically for you. Children, lay hold. It's the season. It is the now. Possess now. Now is the time to possess and become that light in this city that I've called you to.
Thank you, Father. You are a mighty God. You're a glorious Redeemer. Holy Spirit, receive this assembly this day. Manifest the Father's will and plan and purpose that we may know you more intimately, Father.
I stand in awe of you.
Hallelujah. Brother Nigel is preparing to come. I want you to open your heart to God's servant. Brother Nigel has come from Australia to be a blessing to this community. We met just over a year ago, and I told him at that time, I want you to come to House of the Lord. And the only opening he had, because he's booked solid, was this holiday weekend. And he asked if the holiday weekend would affect anything, and I said, it'll affect some. I mean, let's just deal with it. Some people are going to take their holiday, no matter what God's doing. But you're here. You have the opportunity to receive, to hook up with God's servant, and to draw upon the anointing that God has placed upon his life. You will be ministered to. You will be blessed. You will receive, because your heart is to hear from God. Brother Nigel, would you come and take your liberty, sir?
Hallelujah. Well, God is good. I am actually excited to be here. And I go to a lot of churches that I'm not excited to be there. And there have been churches when I have been there, the less exciting I become. And I wish I could leave there, but God holds me to the fire. I first met your pastor, and thank you for the honor of inviting me here. But I met your pastor about a year ago at No Excuses, where Joel pastors there. And I ministered on a subject on the house and the glory of God. And I was pondering about what I would share this morning, because I feel a real excitement concerning being here. And that's a great feeling to have when you go into a church for the very first time, to have a quickening and an excitement in your spirit. I'm a very real person. I'm not religious. There's not a religious bone in my body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. I despise religion. I absolutely hate it. I've seen it destroy churches. I've seen it destroy people. So we don't want to mess with this. Now, some of you, over this next period of days, your mascara is going to run and your perm is going to fall out. Hallelujah, right? So you can come all dizzied up, but there's going to come some time that God's going to mess with you and ruffle your hair and ruin your makeup. Glory to God. Somebody say, so be it. Glory to God. You have no idea what you've just agreed to. Before I continue today, I want us to sing Happy Day one more time. Because you guys just, I love that song. And can I be blessed by hearing that one more time? But before we do, I want to welcome Pastors Dale Gentry and Jean Gentry. Guys, would you come up to the front and just sit over here with me, please? You don't want to do that? Don't be shy. You want to sit there? Okay. Dale and Jean Gentry are very close friends of mine. Dale lives in Austin, and we've ministered together on many, many occasions. I honor him, honor Jean. He has a great prophetic gift, and he's an awesome man of God. And I haven't seen you for a while, and it's just great. When I saw them pass in here and I saw them come in, I thought, well, hallelujah. Mates again. Wonderful Jesus. Just some history and then I'll get into where I'm going. But I come from Australia, obviously. And I'm the only one without an accent here, I'm sure of it. And I come from Australia, from a place north of a main center called Brisbane. I live on the Sunshine Coast, about 5 minutes from my house, by car to the beach. Palm trees, tealy blue water, white sand. Glory to God. And I love that. In fact, we got a prophetic word years and years ago, and this woman preacher said, she said, actually a South African, she said, I see you seasons by the sea, and I see palm trees. And that's exactly where we are. So it's an awesome place to live. So I come from Australia, and God called me back in 93, and he called me to America. and there was absolutely no way of me coming to the United States. From an outsider or a foreigner's perspective, it is very difficult to come here and break into the scene, into the church scene, very much so. And a guy had a dream about me in New York, and he flew to do meetings in Australia. And as I walked out of the door, he said, "Are you Nigel McNeil?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I want to see you. I'm flying out to America, to New York, tomorrow. Would you come to the airport and talk to me?" And he said this to me. He said, "I want you to come to America." And I had no money. I was flat broke. And I said, "Well, I can't afford to come." He said, "Don't worry about that. I'll fix that up." Make a long story short, three months later, a courier arrived with my tickets. And my wife and I boarded a plane destined for America. And after about a week, 2 weeks rather, we met Rodney Howard Brown. And we lived with Rodney for a week in his house. And that launched our ministry basically into the United States. And we walked straight into a move of God. And I've got to be honest with you, the joy thing really lost me. Because I would start to preach and start to share the word of God, and people were rolling off their chairs, getting drunk in the spirit, and I was so offended at them and God for interrupting my message that I waited 2 hours on. How stupid can you be and still breathe? And then finally it dawned on me, here I am, I'm in a literal move of God, get with the program. And many times when God moves, it can freak us out. Hands up those who've been freaked out by God many times, but it doesn't make it less God. So I'm excited about being here. I've been here now for 24 years, commuting back and forth from Australia. If I say something that offends you, and I will, I promise you, I ask you to forgive me now. I don't intend to offend you, but somehow it just comes out. Right. Somebody say, "So be it."
So be it.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing Happy Day. Could we all do that this morning? Could you just cut loose and get rid of that Sunday morning itis? I want everybody to say, "I'm invincible." Oh, glory to God. All right, can we really cut loose on this? And let's just see the glory of God. I'm looking for the glory of God to come down in these meetings. I want the Holy Ghost to move. I'm a Holy Ghost junkie. Come on, let's sing it together.
Every day.
may be seated. Thank you, Father. I want us to turn in the Word this morning to Genesis chapter 28. I have been disturbed as I've gone the length and breadth of this nation. And I have looked at the church and the house of God. I visit many, many churches, extended meetings all over this nation. And I'm perturbed about what the church, through compromise, is falling into. And I'm challenged about this. And this message was born out of this challenge. I deliberated whether I would share it or not because Pastor Jim and Pastor Joel have heard this message. And it was interesting because my wife, who was not with me this time, and she'd been with me for 24 years, at the beginning, two meetings a day, 6 days a week, as we saw the glory of God sustain us. And that, I think we were doing those kind of meetings for about 9 or 10 years of those. She's taking a year off to be with grandchildren. We have two new grandchildren. And then I called Kathy on the phone and we were talking. She said, "What are you going to minister at Pastor Jim's on Sunday morning?" And before I could get I was going to actually minister something totally different. And before I could get it out, she said, "You need to minister on the church and the glory of God." And it witnessed something in my spirit. So I want us to turn to Genesis 28. Now, I've got to just explain the dynamics here. Whenever a person comes into a church for the very first time, it takes a time for the anointing that that man carries to settle into the atmosphere of the place. It doesn't happen overnight. That's why majority of my meetings are sustained meetings over many days, so that things can settle into the people and settle, my anointing can settle into the house. If I'm truly called of God to preach here, my anointing does not violate His. It dovetails. Now, where we have a difficulty with the anointing is when you come into a place, you're looking for the glory of God and the pastor is not. So now we have a conflict, and then I believe that my anointing must override that if I'm going to be there several days. So what I'm believing for is for all of us, including myself, to have an encounter with God that will leave us in a place of total and utter blessing. You don't need an encounter with me, you need an encounter with Almighty God. I'm tired of trying to have an encounter with men. You need an encounter with Almighty God. I'm merely FedEx, as my brother told me. I'm merely a delivery boy. I don't know how this week's going to go. I have no idea. I have no preconceived ideas. All I know, and Joel's been in many meetings with me, that the Holy Ghost will come. So we must welcome the Holy Ghost. We must consciously welcome the Holy Ghost into this place. The problem with church life today that you can barely get people out for a Sunday morning service, let alone have them come back night after night. In fact, the status today, the average church attendance from people is at least two meetings or Sunday morning meetings per month. And that's the difficulty I have with church life. Because the Bible says, fail not the assembling of yourselves, the sum is. It's exactly like communion. We have communion once a month or once every quarter. But the Bible says, do this as oft as you meet. I find it hard to get communion in churches. I have to specifically ask for it so I can have it. It's one of the most prized things in my life to have communion. So we've got a church today overall that's almost anti-glory, but welcome structure. God wants us not to be unstructured, but he wants us to welcome the glory of God, because the glory of God touches us, we're never the same again. When I walked into this move of God with Brother Rodney, I was never the same again. I saw people just literally eager to get to church, in one particular church in Illinois. They were driving a 100-mile round trip just to be in the glory of God, because many times I was so struck dumb by the Spirit, I didn't speak, so God did the service. It's amazing how he does that. And they drove a 100-mile round trip just to sit in the presence of God and sit in the glory of God. That's hunger. The problem with churches today, we can be so locked in to the church thing that we forget that the God of the church wants to shed his glory and bring his glory to us. The glory makes us different. I want to talk about this today. I want to talk about the church and the glory of God. So turn with me, please, to Genesis 28, and we're going to look at verse 10. Could you just turn the keyboards down a trifle? I don't actually know what the measurement trifle means. I think it means that much. And give me just a little strings there. Now take it down just a little bit more. Thank you, that's cool. Verse 10, and Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there overnight, because the sun was set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down there to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels, everybody say angels, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood over and beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land on which you are lying, and your offspring shall be as countless as the dust or sand of the ground, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and by you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed and bless themselves. And behold, I am with you and will keep you, watch over you with care, take notice of you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done all which I have told you. Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. Now verse 17 is my key script, text. He was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced is this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gateway to heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar. And he poured oil on top of it in dedication. Look up for a minute. This is the first mention in Scripture of the house of God in the Bible. Interesting to pay attention to the first time anything is mentioned. Go there, because a particular passage, that particular passage will establish a climate or a standard that the rest of Scripture must rest on. It's called the law of first mention. So what is God's house? Now, the reason why I'm preaching this today, because I want us to get some clarification what I'm after in the Spirit. I don't know whether I'm going to move prophetically or not move prophetically. But as Pastor said, I do feel that prophetic atmosphere. So what is God's house? When we think of the house of God, we think in terms of a building or people. us being the house of God. But in this first mention in Genesis, there is no building, neither is there a company of people, just a rock and a man. This revelation, if you can get this, will completely change how you do church and what you think about God. It changes what we are consciously aware of. The responsibility of the church is to bring in heaven and steward it here on earth. Our job is to steward the glory of God. It's not left to one man. It's on the church, the desire and the heart to steward the glory of God. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the manifest presence of God. It's God manifesting his presence so that our ears, our eyes, we can feel the glory of God. The glory of God is a game changer. When the glory of God comes into a meeting, and I'm looking for that to happen in these next few days, that the glory of God would be a game changer. It goes from one level all of a sudden sovereignly into another level. A lot of the churches I go to have limited glory, but God wants to bring outrageous glory and captivate a church and captivate a town and a county. In those days when the fire of God was being poured out in the joy of the Lord, we were seeing counties and seeing, and Dale was involved in all of this back in the day, although I didn't know him, but he was having huge meetings. Why? Because the glory of God. And there's one thing we can stand and we can preach the word of God and out of our gift begin to function. But I want to see also not only the gift, I want to see the sovereign outpouring of the Spirit of God. I want to see the sovereign hand of God. Somebody say amen. So we have a responsibility of learning how to bring the reality of his world into this one. And the root system of that revelation is found in this story. Now let's turn to verse 17. You'll get clarity with this in a minute. Verse 17 says, he was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. Jacob is running from Esau. He is petrified of his brother. He did his brother out of the birthright. So Jacob is on the run. I love when God apprehends someone on the run. God apprehended me on the run. I was not a nice man before God got a hold of me. And my enemies today would tell me I'm still not a nice man. Hallelujah. He was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. Jacob had a vision, and Jacob sees elements that define the house of God. Let me just clarify this. You can have a house, and you can have people. Get those people, they can be Christian people, get those Christian people into a house and they reject the glory of God and reject the presence of God. All you've got is a building and people. It's a house. But there's a difference between a house and the house of God where God shows up with his glory. And there are a lot of churches in America that are compromising on the glory of God and having 50-minute sermons, and yet they pray, when they do pray, which is rare, they pray, God, send a move of the Spirit. Send a move of the Holy Ghost. But make sure it lasts only 59 minutes because I've got to go and have chicken dinner with Aunt Mabel. My Bible tells me they that wait upon the Lord. And I want to challenge this church this morning. Are you prepared to wait on the sovereign power of God with no reservations? God's not a waiter. God doesn't come to you and say, what would you like to happen this morning? Well, I want a bit of worship, a bit of praise. Hold the tongues, don't want that. And I want to be out in 59 minutes. The Lord is not our waiter. sovereign move of God came to this building. God began to pack this out. Because when God's glory comes, when revival comes, people come. How much of a change would Austin be, have under that kind of glory and under that kind of presence? I don't know about you, but as a man of God, I need the presence of God. Oh my God, 24/7 I need the presence of God. I need the presence of God to come to this church. I need the glory of God just to stand here. I need God. Without God, I'm hopeless. I've even tried getting into businesses. I can't even do that right. I've lost money trying to do businesses on the outside. God's got me in a narrow place. Hallelujah. The word I kept getting this morning was because of you two was the word transference. God is about to transfer what He's placed in you and put it in Him. This transfer, whether you're aware of it or not, is already starting to take place. There are things going out of you that God is stewarding and putting into Him. There is insight. There is prophetic insight. There is an understanding of the Word of God that you have a handle on, that God already is beginning to shift that into this man here. It's like standing there and having the shoot. God is in that place, and the season will last for at least 2 months. Whether you're together or not together. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. So he sees four things concerning the house of God. The first thing he sees when he has this vision, write this down, he sees an open heaven. Number two, he sees a ladder on earth reaching up to heaven. Now this is very interesting because the ladder was going up from earth to heaven, not the other way around. Then he saw angelic activity. He saw angels going up and he saw angels coming down. Angels going up from earth to heaven after finishing an assignment and then coming down to start a new one. Let me tell you something about this. This really impressed me this morning. I saw this morning as I was reading this. He saw a ladder. The ladder had its beginning on earth and the top of it reached to heaven. And the Lord began to show me how important prayer is. I want you to write this down. We create the ladder, which is speaking of access of angelic beings into our lives and into our situation. That's why praying and communicating with God is vital on a day-by-day basis. The Bible says in Ephesians, pray always. Always talk to God. If you want angelic intervention, you must pray, because as you pray and make your request known to God, you are giving heaven permission to get involved with you and invade your life. The reason why heaven holds back on many of you is because you haven't given heaven permission to come. God will not violate your will. The ladder didn't start in heaven, it started on earth. We build the access by a life of prayer. And there's one thing to be able to have prayer times, and that's wonderful, but you should be communicating, praying with God all day long. You'll never understand the omnipresence of God until you get saved. When God changes your heart, you can see God everywhere. Prior to you getting salvation and a transformation of your heart, you can't see God, not even in your own heart. But when you get Him in your heart, you see God everywhere. You see Him in the trees. You see Him in a beautiful scenery. And I've just come back from the outback of Australia, across the Simpson Desert. Saw God out in the Simpson Desert. Amazing. I've had encounters out there that have been breathtaking. But until you carry God here, you don't know that He's everywhere. The omnipresence of God. Hallelujah. The next thing he hears is the voice of God. So the conclusion, this was the first mention of the house of God, no building, no people. So the house of God is defined by this revelation. Number one, an open heaven. Number two, angelic activity. Number three, the voice of God. And number four, a ladder or access going from earth to heaven. These are the elements of the house of God. If you haven't got these elements, the question I want to ask this illustrious congregation, is this a legitimate house of God? I've been to churches that have despised the move of God. I remember going to a church in the South, and I'd never been to this church before, and I was speaking about the glory of God. But the reality is they were a seeker-sensitive church, not a glory-sensitive church. Do you know how many seeker-sensitive churches now are spreading right through the United States of America? See, I don't know about you. See, Jim and I have been spoiled because we were brought up in a church that actually had specified evening to actually have a prayer meeting. Do you know what it's like to try and get people today to come out of and come to a prayer meeting? And then they wonder why there's an absence of presence and glory in their life. I was just a young person when I was in my church, and my pastor said, if you want what I carry, you have to be wherever I am. So I prayed with him. When we had a work detail on the church, I had to be the first to arrive and the last to leave. But see, we want the glory without price. There is a cost to carry today. One of my jobs was to straighten the chairs up. They were loose, not connected. Straighten the chairs up after every service. And it was difficult for me because I was proud and arrogant, and I had more prophecies than more hands laid on me than a piano. Every prophet would come through and pick me out, yay, and give me a prophetic word. And so when I got relegated to straightening chairs up on the statement from my pastor, if you will do this, you can have what I carry. And I must admit, my attitude was not good, because when they left me there and everybody left the building after every meeting, I had to straighten the chairs up. And I'm telling you, those chairs went down so heavy, they almost went through the floor. And then he came to me and he said, for a year I did that. He said, you know, he said, I'm going to graduate you into your next level. And I said, what's the next level? He said, your job is to clean the toilets. And I had to take a mop and clean the toilets after every service. The reason why I did it, because I wanted what my pastor carried. And now we can't get people to work in the house of God unless they're paid. I worked in the house of God because I desired to serve the Lord. There were many times I would finish work, go in my lunch hour, go into the church, and I would just sit in an empty building and ponder the weekend glory of God that came, because I came out of a very prophetic church, and ponder the glory of God. I just love the house. I love to be around the house. Sometimes I just pass the house in my car. Pass the house in my car. Hallelujah. Just so I could see the house. So, for me, church was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We had Bishop Cody come into our church, who he has met. This guy, Bishop Cody, come into the church, and he was with us for 2 weeks, and we were out there every night because the glory of God was coming down. I'm really praying. Wouldn't it be amazing if I got stuck here because of a revival being poured out on this church? God, I pray, God, stick me. Let me be stuck. Because when the glory comes, it's a total game changer. changes your whole life. When I came over here and walked into the glory of God, it changed my family, it changed my marriage, it changed my children. Everything changed. My finances changed. I was broke as a church mouse, and I've never found a mouse as broke as I was, but I was as broke as everything. But when the glory came, when the presence came, it changed my whole life. My marriage at that time, this is going back 125,000 years, my marriage was shaky, but when the presence of God got involved in my life, it made me strong. Now I have an exemplary marriage. I love my wife. But the glory of God's a game changer. Change your children. Instead of making them come to church. Listen, there are a bunch of children in a great revival we had in Montgomery County. The power of God was moving nightly. The kids, hundreds of kids, just lost it in the power of God. Many had to be carried home. When they went to Christian school the following day, the Holy Ghost came down. Every teacher and other children from other classes came into that room where these kids had the joy and were drunk in the Spirit. The whole school had to be closed down because everybody getting drunk in the Spirit. And kids don't fake anything. I mean, us adults will do courtesy drops just to keep the preacher happy. But if kids don't sense the glory of God, they're going to stand there and defy you. And I remember in prayer, and the Lord spoke to me. This was in California just a week ago. He spoke to me. He said, "Why aren't you praying about God, about me sending a reviving spirit? Why aren't you praying like you used to pray, God send your glory?" And my response to him was, "Because it's not the climate for it." He said, "You've got to pray because that will change the climate." Hallelujah. So Jacob now sees the definition of the house of God, an open heaven, angelic visit activity, the voice of God, and the ladder going up to heaven. When God says, "I've made you to be the house of God," he is not talking about building in which God will live. He is talking about the characteristics of what the house is defined by as he sees it in a group of people. You allow the glory to come in, the miracles will come. You allow the glory to come in, your marriage can get saved. If you allow the glory to come in, your teenagers that are crazy. Hands up those who got crazy teenagers. My God, before puberty, you thought butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. And the moment their voice broke and they entered into teenage years, you don't know what you gave birth to. My kids went totally crazy, crazy. But the glory of God brought them back. See, history and memory is everything. For my children to stay away from God permanently was impossible because they got that drunk that many nights under the glory of God. They never forgot it. They saw their parents drunk in the Spirit every night. We had one lady. She was a big lady, but she went down. It's in Wisconsin. She went down on the Spirit of God. I got her back up, prayed for again. She went down the Spirit of God. But every time she would go down, she would make a noise. I don't know how to say that here. Well, in our country with the children, we say toot. She tooted. Can I say that here? No. Am I offended? How many people have I offended already? I told you it would come. You know what I mean by tooting? That's a respectful way of saying it, right? Are you okay with me now? Listen, I'm just warming up. We haven't even got to know each other yet. And I just put my foot in the water and just see what you are like. So far, so good. I want everybody to put your foot out and go like that. So far, so good. So my son was catching this woman, and so every time she went down, she what? She tooted. And the last time was about five times. The last time she came up, I went to pray for her again, and my son went like this because he was behind her in the cloud of glory. Did I? Are you all right? Are you still all right with me? Hey, do you want to leave the church? Sorry, I'm standing on your foot. Rika Tahasha, hallelujah. And my son is in the cloud of glory, ready to catch this woman for about the fifth time. And he goes like this to me, "No, Pop, please, no." Glory to God. See, that's why I love the Holy Ghost, because it just messes with all our dignity stuff. And I love what he does to pastors, because pastors sit there oftentimes in the meetings, "Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah." And then God goes like this. They just fall out. And I love that. Glory to Jesus. See, we need to see this and believe for this stuff to happen again. I've been in meetings that I know, and I know that had I stayed, it was like God was putting me on notice. If you stay here, I will do something special. But because of my schedule, I just keep going on. If God was to tell me stay here, I would stay. If the power of God came, hallelujah. All right, the house of God. Write this down, please. The house is also a gate. The house is also a gate. Let's go to verse 17 again. He was afraid and said, "How to be feared and reverenced is this place? This is none other, listen to me, than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven." So what is a gate? A gate is a transition place from one realm to another realm. It means access. The Lord has built his house, the gate, on the edge of two worlds. When something goes from one world to the next, it goes through the gates. Who are the gates? The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 7, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory can come in." We are the gates. When you lift up your head, it is speaking of praying in the Holy Ghost. When you lift your heads up, O ye gates, you are granting God the permission to come, and he will not violate your will. So I'm praying for this group of meetings. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory can come in, because we need the King of glory in this house. You don't need a crazy Australian. You need the King of glory to come in. We must lift our heads, release our expectation, believe we're going to receive, believe we're going to have a miracle, believe we're going to see God come, believe we're going to have an encounter with Almighty God. Amen. That will be a game changer for the rest of our lives. Could you just take the volume down a little bit more? Thank you. The angels that ascend and descend, they don't just go randomly anywhere. They go through the gate that God created. In other words, the Word becomes flesh. I remember one time I was out in the outback in a place called the Simpson Desert. And I couldn't pitch my tent because of the loose sand. And I went inside my four-wheel drive. I put the seat right back, jumped into a sleeping bag because the desert's very cold. And I lay there. And I went off into a shallow sleep. And as I went off into a shallow slumber, the glory of God entered my truck. So right through the night, the Lord kept waking me, letting me sleep, waking me, letting me sleep. And I had a divine encounter that lasted the entire evening. When I got up out of the truck in the morning, put my seat up, I got out of the truck. And I felt like my spirit man, I don't want to sound weird, but I felt like my spirit man was 10 feet tall. My body is this size, but my spirit felt huge. And one of the guys who's unsaved came to me and said, "How are you?" I said, "I had a powerful night last night." And he said to me, "What, spiritually?" See, when the glory's on you, unsaved people see it. In fact, over the years, we have seen more miracles happen to people that are unsaved. Because many times Christians are screwed up in their thinking and screwed up in their heads. And we've seen a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles. So then Jacob sees these four things and he said, surely this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. So I want you to write this down. Jesus, the house. And I want us to turn to John 1:14. John 1:14. We know the scripture well today. In the 14th verse of John 1, and the word Christ became flesh, tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. So Jesus is the Word made flesh, and he dwelt among us. The word dwelt means tabernacled. Then I want us to turn quickly to Mark. Mark chapter 1. So we find in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus becomes the house. Remember, Jacob is the pattern. In those days, verse 9, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, at once he, John, saw the heavens torn apart, the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down to enter into him, and there came a voice out from within heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Immediately, the Holy Spirit from within drove him out into the wilderness, and that's where he had angelic encounters. Now, to back that up, I want us to turn to John. John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1. I can't even find the book of John, let alone the chapter. I've got it. John chapter 1 and verse 48, 46. Nathanael answered him, "Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip replied, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said concerning him, "See, here is an Israelite, indeed a true descendant of Jacob, in whom there is no guile, nor deceit, nor falsehood, nor duplicity." Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me? How is it that you know these things about me?" Jesus answered him, "Before ever Philip called you, when you were still under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered, "Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus replied, "Because I said to you, I saw you beneath the fig tree. Do you believe in and rely and trust in me? You shall see greater things than this." And he said to him, "I assure you, I tell you all, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So look at this. Jesus is the tabernacle of God on earth. He is the Genesis standard. He heard the voice of God. He had an open heaven. Angelic activity in the wilderness coming and going. So in the New Testament, Jesus becomes the initial fulfillment of the Old Testament prophetic picture. The initial, but not the ultimate. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Acts, and I'm going to close with this. The book of Acts, Acts chapter 2.
Acts chapter 2. See, the problem today, church, we have a lot of houses with a lot of people. But we have few houses where God is actually welcome. I have learned this because of history, that God is not like us. We are to be like Him. God does not think like we do. When the Holy Spirit sends a move of God, He doesn't consult you and I. In the book of Acts, and I want us to turn to Acts chapter 2, in the book of Acts, He didn't consult. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. He didn't say, I'm coming. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. He didn't say how the Holy Ghost was going to come. They were waiting for something they had no idea of what this outcome would be. But the glory showed up, and it was a game changer. Total game changer. I was in Kaitaia in New Zealand, had an amazing move of God. It was a church of about 120, and we're getting about 400 to 500 out a night. Power of God came in, but the power of God just didn't affect the church. It affected the whole neighborhood. I was in the bank. It would touch the bank. People were asking questions about what was happening at that place. I don't want to go through life as a man. Look, for God's sake, when I first came to America, I was 46 years old. Young and stupid. Now I'm 71 this September. My wife asked me, she said, how long are you going to keep this up? You're just sitting in the wrong place today, don't you? You know that, don't you? How can you keep this up? And so I went to the Lord and I said to the Lord, I said, well, how long can I do this? And then I asked the Lord, I said, God, can I ask a favor? This happened just before I left Australia. Can I ask a favor? And I don't ask God for too much. And I said, may I, because I've got grandchildren now and I want to see them married and have kids. I said, can I live another 30 years, which would bring me up to the ton? I want to live 30 years. And you might say, my God, your body looks so bad, it couldn't take another 30 years. But glory to God, I need to exercise a bit more. And I felt the Lord tell me, I will do it. And I was so excited because I was walking along the beach at the time. I get a lot of revies by the beach. And I came back and I thought, God, I'm going to live another 30 years. I felt totally invincible. And I went home to Kathy, my wife, and I said, honey, God spoke to me today on the beach. She said, what did He say to you? And I told her, God's granted me another 30 years. She went, no! Glory to God. She said, God doesn't like me. So now, if I'm going to live, not if, I'm going to live another 30 years, I don't want to end up in some old people's home being fed fruitcake at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to a slobbering mouth. I've got a guy going to the outback with 78 years old. His wife is 75. And I said, I admire how you do this. You just hop in your four-wheel drive and you go out into the outback. He said, the alternative is not good. That's why I don't like getting around a lot of old people. I like to fellowship people, you know, younger than me. You can pick your fellowship. Hallelujah. Hands up those who like to live another 30 years. Oh, glory to God. I'm looking around and I'm saying to myself, no, you shouldn't live for another 30 years. I'm not afraid of, I want to go to heaven, but I still want to enjoy my grandchildren. So let's look at Acts 2, the powerful story, and I'm going to close with this. Do you love Jesus? Okay, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, we're all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, Spirit, began to speak in different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were residing in Jerusalem Jews, devout, God-fearing men from every country under heaven. And when the sound was heard, the multitude came together, and they were astonished and bewildered, because each one heard them, heard the apostles speaking in their own language, and they were beside themselves with amazement. So here's verse 6. The Bible says they were confused, bewildered, and others mocked. And I want you to write this down. Revival does not come squeaky clean. It gets messy. If God comes in a way in which everybody understands, then he comes in our size, not his size. Now remember where God's house is built. It is built on the edge of two worlds, because the house is the gate between two realities. So this is what I want to share, and I'm going to close with this. I don't know what we're going to do after that. So what do the disciples do in Acts? They prayed for 10 days. What were they doing? They were building the ladder. When you pray for a move of God, you are building a ladder from earth to heaven. And when it gets there, now you have access. They prayed. They worshiped. Earth invaded heaven before heaven invaded earth. The next thing we read, a sound came from heaven, translated roar, went from that world through the gate. The disciples now, Jesus was the house, was the gate. He was crucified, rose from the dead. Now the disciples became the house, and they became the gate. So the roar went from that world through the gate, the disciples, the house of God, into this world. And people erupted because of that encounter with the Holy Spirit. So what did they hear? They heard the sound of rushing wind. That speaks of angels. In Psalm 104, verse 3, who makes winds, angels, his messengers, flames of fire, his ministers, and God spoke of his angels as winds and fire. They heard the sound of rushing wind. When the rushing wind began to just flow through the upper room, it was angels. What did they see? They saw fire, speaking also of angels. Jesus told them in John 20, when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. So they're already born again. He said, then the sound or roar went from heaven, comes through the gate into this room, this upper room, and there are manifestations of angels upon what? Upon the house of God, which Jesus was the prototype. And when the sound was heard, the multitude came. That sound came from heaven that rocked that known world of that time. Think about what that sound caused. That sound was able to bring community at 9 o'clock in the morning to drop everything and come to that house. Thousands of people gathered to the upper room. Thousands. That's a sovereign move of God. You can have all your discipleship things and breakfasts and dinners and God knows else what we do in church life, but when God breathes, when the glory of God falls, right, there won't be a seat that's empty. There's something about a shift. There's something about a prophetic shift when the glory comes. And I'm believing for a shift here. I'm telling you now, a shift will come here. We'll step from one level, which we are now, into a another level. From glory to glory, he's changing me. And prophetically, I'm looking for that shift to change. If we are the house of God, I expect angelic activity. If we are the house of God, I expect to hear the voice of God so I can move prophetically if God would want that. We know we have an open heaven. Stop praying for God to open heaven. The heavens have been open since the resurrection. So what do we want as a church? I want to challenge you. I want you to ask God for this. God, give me expectation in my heart. Because the flesh doesn't want this, but your spirit does. Now, Joel knows what I mean by the change, by the shift. We've been in meetings and all of a sudden it's just taken on a life of its own. And I'm believing for that to happen here. I would love to think we saw souls saved. People filled with the Holy Spirit. The glory of God to fall. Some of you need to have God put you on your face. Mess your hair. Have your mascara run, and I'm talking about the women. I'll tell you something, because when I first came to America, we could just move the pulpit away. That would be great. When I first came to America, I all we had in meetings was people with uncontrollable laughter. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't like this. I couldn't see the sense getting to a meeting and standing there. All I did was stand there. The glory of God would come down and people get drunk in the Spirit, and we'd do that for 4 hours. And I used to think to myself, why am I even here? In fact, one church I was there for, well, for a long, long time. And every time I tried to preach, the Lord would shut me up and the joy would move, the glory would move. And so eventually one morning I taught a message, and they actually the church gave me a plaque congratulating me on completing an actual message, a sermon, which I have on my study wall in Australia. I want those days back. I want those days back where we sense the sovereign Spirit of God. But first of all, we've got to know what the house of God really is. The house of God is what? The first definition. What's the first definition? Open heaven. What's the second definition? What's the third? Angels. And what's the fourth one? For the voice of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People won't touch moves of God because it is messy. A friend of mine, Stephen Strader, down in Lakewood, who had Todd Bentley there. I went to two of the meetings, and I've got to tell you, they were extraordinary. This man invited Todd in for three days. He ended up staying months. I think something like 375,000 people went through that church in 8 or 9 months. That's a lot of people. Stephen was about to close the church because they couldn't afford to keep the building, and he was about to lay off staff because they didn't have the finance. When the revival broke out, he had to put on 25 more staff. People came from all over the world. Revival's messy. I said, what was your biggest expense? He said, toilet paper. He said, my God, I've never seen. We almost had semis pulling up with toilet paper. He said, people just love to go to the bathroom in revival. And it puts a great strain on the worship people. See, revival's hard work. I've been in it. Revival's hard work. Not only does the church need revival, but all those that serve the house need a personal revival so that they can navigate through it themselves and navigate other people through it. So how expectant is this church? I've been told this is a great church, but then your pastor is biased. He loves you absolutely, but I don't know you yet. So I'm asking the question, are you a real house of God or not a real house of God? How much do you want the Spirit of God to really come into this place? How much do you want revival? At any cost. There is a cost to revival. There is a cost to the outpouring of God. Hallelujah. My sister prophesied this morning, it's your season. But I'm going to bring a sobering add on to that, and this is what I'm feeling in my spirit. It's your season, but you must pay the price. It's your season available to you. You either take it with both hands or you reject it. Can you imagine having meetings, two meetings a day, 6 days a week, week in and week out? My life consisted of meetings, finishing up on Friday night, sleeping, going up to bed on Friday night, sleeping right through Saturday, getting up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, having a meal and going, I was so tired, and going straight back to sleep and starting the whole thing all over again on Sunday. And I would never have changed it for anything. So I want us to all stand. I've got to tell you this. I believe my strong point in my ministry is impartation. And I would really like to pray for some people with your permission. Can I pray for people today? And I'm going to ask God to do this. I'm going to ask Him sovereignly to put an expectation for a move of the Spirit in your life. It's not enough for Pastor Jim to have it, or even the leadership. You have to have it. Are you prepared to pay a price? Are you prepared to go to another nation of God, like God put it on me, go to America? And I just walked out of Australia, just walked out. Came to this one. So glad I did. I remind Kathy when we were really exhausted, thank God it wasn't India. He sent me to the land of the brave and the free. Not so much now. So you pay the price. 46 years old, 2 children. We homeschooled them. And we travel. I only ever knew 1 week ahead where I was going next. I sewed all my furniture for the revival. All we had left was a washing machine and a refrigerator, and they were both demon-possessed. There's a price, but it's worth it. So this is what I want to do today. I really want to impart this expectation. I want God to upset this whole church. Get it out of your comfort zone in the spirit. And take you into realms that you've not seen before. That's what I'm looking for. So today, if you want prayer and impartation, I want us to line up the front here, if we could. And I'm going to lay hands on you today. Thank you, Jesus. The rest of you can fill the aisles. Down on the aisles, and I can come down the aisles. just move out of your seat and go into an aisle because this is full. And I'll come down those aisles. So just move that way and move this way and move that way. How hungry is this church? Do you really expect God to move? How much do you want the glory of God to touch your family? In the name of Jesus. Could I have the worship team? I will pray for the worship team, but could I have the worship team back up on the stage, if you wouldn't mind? The worship team back up on the stage. I will pray for the worship team, I promise. Father, I pray this morning that your sweet Holy Ghost would touch us. Put joy in our hearts sovereignly by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Raise your hands, everybody. Say, God, fill us this morning.
Fill us with the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus. Father, give to them what they've been declaring. They've made declaration by faith. Now, God, I'm asking to make it a reality by the power of God. So what we want to do with the worship, we want to just sing softly and worshipfully. Let the presence of God begin to hover. If you have not moved down into an aisle, I want you to move into an aisle. Because then my question is, how hungry are you? I'm really going to provoke and challenge you. How hungry are you? In the precious name of Jesus. I don't want anybody in the congregation singing. Let the worship team do it. Father, we thank you for the anointing today. Thank you for the anointing today. Thank you for the anointing today. We thank you for the anointing today. Fill her now, Holy Ghost. Fill. Ilaramashakabriata. Fill. Ilaramashakabriata. Ilaramashakabriata. Now, Holy Spirit, touch him now. Whew. Glory to God. Father, right now, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, touch it today. I release the anointing, expectation. Father, expectation today in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, expectation today. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Expectation today, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. In the precious name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want Pastor Jim. I want Joel. Come over here. Grab his hand. Grab his hand. Father, right now. Right now, Father, transference, insight, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Kila rapotoko, meshi roto kilianda la babasha kabariata. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, Holy Ghost. Right now, Holy Ghost. Now, now. Now, in Jesus' name, Ilarabashi Kabariata, Olabrasiti Kishi Kariata. Father, now I release expectation. Karabashike, I release expectation in the name of Jesus. They're an assistant of yours. Kilarabashaka, Ilaramamashi Kipri Abariata Bakutai. I release expectation in the name of Jesus. I release expectation in the name of Jesus. Father, I release expectation in the name of Jesus to my brother. Careful with this one. Father, right now, I release expectation in the mighty name of Jesus. I release expectation in the mighty name of Jesus right now. Father, now, I release expectation in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Father, right now, I release expectation. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. What do you do with this when I pray? What you do this afternoon, you just stay in an attitude of meditation before God, and you believe that God is going to pour out His Spirit this week. Hallelujah. Whatever your needs are, whatever you want God to do, be in a time of meditation. Say, God, He imparted expectation. I release that out to you today in the name of Jesus. Come here, precious. Father, right now, Holy Ghost, expectation in the name of Jesus. Let it be, Father, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, right now, right now, right now. Whoo, shakabariyata. Right now, Holy Spirit, touch her now in the name of Jesus. Come here, baby, come here. Raise your hands, please. Father, now, now, now. There it is, there it is, there it is. Expectation by the power of God in Jesus' precious name. Behind her. Father, now, the Spirit of God, touch her now. Touch her now. Holy Ghost, Lord, I just release the anointing over her life in Jesus' precious name. All right. Just come out here. Ushers. Father, right now, touch this man. Touch him now. Holy Spirit, I release the anointing. Expectation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I release expectation by the power of God. Father, now, in Jesus' precious name. Father, right now, Holy Ghost, touch her today. Touch her today. Expectation, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come here, baby. Father, right now, expectation in Jesus' precious name. Whew, I release the anointing of God upon her life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, touch him today. The anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Father, right now, whew, touch her today. Touch her today. An expectation for the glory of God upon her life. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, now touch him today. The anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, touch him today. In the name of Jesus, expectation, now, Spirit of God, now, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Father, right now, the anointing, touch him today. Expectation in Jesus' precious name, there it is. Give me a minute, pray with you. Father, right now, touch him. Touch him. Let him have such a hunger for the glory. Glory of God. Father, now, in the name of Jesus, let it be. Let it be. Is that your daughter? Come here. I want to pray with you. Father, I'm asking today that expectation of a mighty move of the glory of God rest on her today in the precious name of Jesus. I release it. Glory of God. The glory of God. Hallelujah. Father, now, in the name of Jesus, touch him. Touch him. Touch him in Jesus' precious name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, the rest of you can come up the front. The rest of you just come up to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just come out here. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, what's wrong with you health-wise? Your back. What's wrong with your back? Just for a minute.
I've been sick for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks? You may be seated, huh?
Call it stenosis.
What's that?
Deterioration in the lower spine.
In the lower back. So you're in pain right now?
I was this morning.
You was this morning. How do you feel now?
I feel pretty good.
You feel pretty good? Yeah? When was the last time you touched your toes?
I don't know.
A long time or a short time?
It's been a little while, probably.
Yeah? I want to see if there's any pain in your back by bending down. Can you go forward? Take it gently. How's your back? Stand up. How's your back feel?
I just feel it a little bit.
A little bit? Let me pray. No one touch her. Father, in the name of Jesus, now, Jesus' name, now. Okay, touch, bend over. See how you go. And there, right there, stand. Father, in the name of Jesus. Stand back a bit. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Loose her. Thank you, precious Jesus. Bend forward. Straighten up. How's that feel? Sore? Still sore?
Just in there.
Father, right now, sweet Jesus, heal her, precious Lord. Heal the sweet lady. In the name of Jesus. Now, try one more time. Bend forward. Straighten up. Any improvement or still the same? Still sore?
Yeah.
All right, go and sit on this here. This row is waiting to get healed row. So come over here. Just sit down. Now we have seen people get miracles as they're waited while I pray for other people. Expectation, Jesus. Father, now, Holy Ghost, touch this young man with the glory of God in Jesus' precious name. Rasikiti liberiata. In the name of Jesus, right now, expectation. Father, touch him today, Holy Spirit. Ushakabariata. In the name of Jesus. Father, now, Holy Ghost, touch him today. Touch him today. Touch him today in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Rebakashandai. Expectation. Expectation. In the name of Jesus. Expectation. Now, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Expectation. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Expectation, Holy Spirit, right now, Holy Ghost. All right, could I have all the worship team down here? Let me pray for the worship team. Father, now, Holy Ghost. Does anybody have pain in your lower back? Yeah? Come here, mate. You, yep. All the worship team can come down. Come and just stand over here, eh? How long have you... Where are you? You're the one with pain. How long have you had pain?
About a week.
A week? Touch your toes without pain? Try.
I don't think I can do this.
You can't touch your toes? No? Straighten up? How's the back feel when you do that? Sore?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this where it is?
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus... Heal this precious man. Jesus' name. Touch your toes. Down. Okay, straighten up. How'd that feel?
Better.
Go down again. You told me you couldn't touch your toes. Stand up. Go down again. Cool. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Who else has got pain in your lower back? Come out here. Quickly. Awesome. Not that you've got pain. Yeah, hold on. Let me call them. Your back too? Come here, mate. Can you touch your toes? You can you touch your toes. What's wrong with your back?
A sports accident.
Are you in pain right now?
No, it comes and goes.
Comes and goes. Okay. Is that where it is?
Back over here.
About here?
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my brother, Holy Ghost. Now. Well, I'm not going to show whether you're healed or not because I... How's it feel? Move your... How's that feel? Feels good? Yeah. Are you watching this? You're next. All right, come here. What's wrong with your back?
Something going on with T7 and T8, I'm not sure.
Okay. You got it right now?
I just have a dull sense.
A dull sense? Mm-hmm. What about if you touch your toes?
I can touch my toes.
You can touch your toes. Touch your toes. Straighten up. Does that hurt the back to do that?
No.
So show me where. Here? Right there? Father, in the name of Jesus, heal her today, Holy Spirit, right now. Holy Spirit, now. Yes. Yes. Who else today was with the back? Come here. Now, what's wrong with your back?
Bend rights.
Your what?
Bend my right back.
Okay, can you touch your toes? Well, you do good. But that sore when you do that? Okay, is this where it's where it's sore? Right there? Are you in pain right now, huh? Yeah? Father, in the name of Jesus, heal her today. Set her free. Now. Now, Holy Ghost. Now. Okay, touch your toes. Straighten up. How's that feel? Is it still there? It's not there. Is that good? Are you glad you came this morning? Yeah? Cool. All right. Back. Curvature of the spine. In pain right now?
A little bit, but if I do a lot of bending over and stuff, it hurts worse, and I have to sit down and rest before it stops.
I want you to bend down. Straighten up. How's that feel?
Better?
Do it again. Straighten up. How's that feel?
Pain's gone.
Pain's gone. Okay. One more time for Jesus. Straighten up. How's that feel?
Good.
Isn't God good?
Yes, He is.
Did we pray yet?
No.
Hallelujah. Who else has got a back? Who else has got a back? Glory to God. We look funny with just a front, wouldn't we? You? No, her first. What's wrong with your back?
Lower back, muscles stiffen up. They say I have spinal stenosis.
Spinal stenosis. Can you touch your toes? Wow, you can do that better than I can. Straighten up. Does that hurt to do that? No. Are you in pain now? It's better. Go down again. Straighten, not fall down, just go down. Straighten back up. How's that feel? Is that good? Go down again, you get the joy. Straighten up. How's that feel? Ooh, shamarandai. Glory to God. Come here, mate. Now, what's wrong with your back?
Lower back pain down into my legs. Sometimes when I wake up, I can hardly get out of bed.
Hard to get out of bed. Know what I love about you? You're so Holy Ghost. I love that about you. You've got a nice face. It's all right. Touch your toes. Straighten up. How's that feel when you do that?
Lower back pain.
Back pain? Right down here? How long have you had that for?
Months.
Father, in the name of Jesus. No, don't pray. Don't pray. Hands down. Don't speak in tongues. Now, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now. Jesus' name. Whew. Keep her up. I want her up. All right. Now, can you, without falling over in the power, go forward and touch your toes quickly. Straighten up. How's that feel? So much better. Okay, go down again. Straighten up. How's that feel? Better. Why don't you do it one more time?
Okay.
All right. Straighten up. You're very quiet this morning. How's that feel? Yeah? Just the Holy Ghost would touch you and get you so drunk in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Are you back? Come here. Are you okay if I pray for these people? You patient? Thank you so much. What's wrong with your back? What's wrong with that? Straight? Can you touch your toes? You can? Huh? No, I can. That's okay. My hand, is that where it's... Yeah? What about if you twist your back that way? Is that aggravated? It doesn't. Are you sore in your back right now? You're feeling better. Have I prayed for you yet? No. So is that feeling good? Do you know why people are getting healed here today? Because there is an atmosphere of miracles resident in this house. It did not come with me, I just tapped into it. Hallelujah. All right, thank you. Who else? Have patience, I'm almost there. One more, come here back. What's wrong with you?
It's strange from time to time. Does I believe it? Just from excess sitting for years.
Okay. Are you in pain now?
Just a little.
A little?
Yes, sir.
Is my hand where it's sore?
Yes, sir.
Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, heal this precious man. Now, Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, any more backs? All right, I'm going to pray for these worship team. I'm going to call this worship team the Chantels. Is that all right? Glory to God. I've got Chantels all over the country. Glory to God. How are you feeling? Are you really? The Holy Ghost all over you. Yes, it is. Whew. Glory to God. Glory to God. We pray for his heart that is troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. God, I pray for a new heart in Jesus' precious name. My God, kidneys, every organ in the upper body healed by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Who shabrayata bune. In the name of Jesus, 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 let there be an acceleration of healing very fast in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All right, ushers. Shakabriata. In the name of Jesus. Whew, Jesus, touch it. Touch it now. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, right now. In the name of Jesus. Expectation. Whew, glory to God. Touch it today, Father, by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Now, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. In the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Come here. Let's have another crack at this. I've got a real thing for people with backs because it does indicate that they've got a front. No, seriously, because I had a tumor removed out of my spine at the age of 17. And it was a benign tumor growth, but it took me about 2 to 3 years convalescing. So when it comes to backs, I've got a real personal compassion for those that are suffering in this area. So nothing I'd like more than to have this precious lady feel good. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal her today. Set her free. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Take your seat just for a minute. I'll come back to you. Father, right now, expectation, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Touch this young man, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Now, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Whoo, shaka bariata. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, touch him now. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Right now. Yes. Yes. Expectation. Let hunger. Hunger, Father, we speak hunger. Hunger in the name of Jesus. Right now, Spirit of God. Hunger, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost hunger. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Roshi Briata Bokotai. In the oh, glory to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray today, Spirit of God, touch Richard. Let him experience a hunger he's never had before. Let it consume him for the glory of God. We ask in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. One more thing. Anybody else with pain in your lower back? Quickly. No one? You, sir? How long have you had this pain?
Not for too long. I did golf.
You what?
I golf.
Oh, you golf. Okay, you chase that little white ball around everywhere. Can you touch your toes?
Yes.
Does it hurt to do that?
Not much.
No? So where is it here? Is it right there? Okay, just relax. Father, now. Jesus, heal this precious man. Now. Now. How's that feel?
Feels better.
Feels better?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad. Thank you. Back? What's wrong with your back?
The size of the fist is like a knot.
Is it?
Hip.
Whereabouts? There. Karabashakabai. Father, now. In the name of Jesus. Heal him, Father. And set him free. Loose him. Bend forward. Straighten up. How's that feel? Still there? Yep, keep moving. How's that feeling? Huh?
It's there.
Still there?
Yeah.
Any improvement at all? No. Whereabouts? Down here. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Ghost. Now, Holy Spirit. Now. Okay, move it. How's that feel? A little better. Keep moving. One more hit.
Just one spot right in there.
One spot where? Can I ask you, you should never ask a lady, but how old are you?
Well,
83. 83? How come you didn't know how old you were?
I was thinking about...
The prayer.
The
back.
What happened to my back?
Oh,
tell you.
Then I asked you your age.
You didn't ask me that.
Yeah, I know.
Then I was thinking about that.
I know. Glory to God. Isn't God good?
Amen.
And you people are great the way you just stick in there with me. I love that. You don't get that from too many churches.
You're amazing.
Praise God.
I might even get to like you yet.
Good.
Father, we thank you. Now, heal this precious lady. Now. Okay, move your back. How's that feeling?
It's better.
It's better? You want to move a little bit more vigorously?
Move.
Yeah, a bit more. How's that feel when you do that? So, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah? You coming back tonight?
Sure.
Well, I'm going to be praying for you until I'm satisfied that you're where I think you should be. Is that all right? How's your back, Joel? What's that mean? It's good? Okay. Remember, tonight we're going to really, we want to come and have a humdinger. Does anybody know what a humdinger is? Do you know what a humdinger is? Hallelujah. Pastor Jim, thank you.
I want to give you an opportunity to invest in the ministry that God has called Brother Nigel to. The Men of Valor have offering envelopes. If you need one, make your check payable to the house of the Lord and just be obedient to God and what he says to invest in his servant. You're not investing in the man, you're investing in the ministry. And you can receive reward from a ministry that you invest in, because you open a channel of blessings by giving. Everything in God's Word begins with giving. And when you give, the channel is open. So say, Daddy, what would you have me invest? And then just be obedient to that, and God will take care of you and him. I'm excited about this week. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. God has miracles, signs, and wonders for his people. And you can and will be blessed. Just come expecting God's flow. Expecting God's flow. Expecting God's flow. Well, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like my Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like my Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Now sing this. Well, he healed my body, told me to run. Tonight at 7 o'clock, be here. 7 o'clock tonight, be here. Bring somebody. Tell somebody you know that needs a touch from God. Y'all come on. Yeah? God bless you. Go with God.